kiddos, 3, 4, and 5. All kiddos, 3, 4, and 5 year old. Now's your time to go. I appreciate those who are serving with you and giving you a special time during the evening service. All kiddos, 3, 4, and 5. Matthew chapter 26. And we'll begin our reading in verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. The word of God says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." I want to speak to you tonight on this topic of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, found here in Matthew chapter 26. It's also found in Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 22, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, all these put together. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us tonight, I pray, to be well-pleasing in your sight. May your will be done, may you be glorified, and may you help us to understand the seriousness of this time. Calm our hearts. Remove our minds from all distractions, and may we be completely focused upon you and what you've done. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some simple thoughts tonight as I want to preach to you on this subject. In this text here in Matthew chapter 26, we see the Lord and his disciples observing the Passover supper that showed Christ's fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and promises that God would send forth the Lamb to be slain for the sin of the world. And in preparation for this supper, the Lord tells Peter, just in context, and John, to go into a certain city where they would find a woman carrying a pitcher of water. They were to follow, they would find a man carrying a pitcher of water, and they were to follow him to the house he went to. And once they were there, they were to go inside and tell the good man of the house, the man that had the house, that the Lord would keep the Passover at his house with his disciples. The Lord said he would show them a large upper room that's furnished and prepared. Peter and John were to make ready for the Passover supper in that room that the Lord told him about. And the Word of God tells us that Peter and John obeyed the Lord and they found exactly as the Lord had told them. And this Passover supper was turned into the Last Supper, known also as the Lord's Supper, between the Lord Jesus and his disciples, the night that he would be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. It's the Lord's Supper that we're focusing our attention on tonight in this service. That's important for us to remember how the Lord's Supper is one of the two local church ordinances. It's the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of baptism. Now, the Lord's Supper is a communion service that's observed by the local church in which the fruit of the vine, the juice, and the unleavened bread are partaken of by born-again children of God. Children of God are commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're not asked to, God commands us to, and we are thus privileged to do so. Now, let a child of God so examine himself to make sure he's living in fellowship with the Lord at this moment. Some people have closed communion, which means that only those who are members of that local church can partake of it. We do not have that here. We allow a child of God to so examine themselves, and if you're a child of God, you know the Lord, you've trusted Christ your Savior, you're part of the body of Christ, you are welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us tonight. But you examine yourself. Let a child of God so examine himself to make sure that he is living in fellowship with the Lord. And it's good to remember as well that the Lord only commanded the observance of his supper. He did not tell the church how often they should do it. Some churches do it every week. Some churches do it twice a year. That's basically what we do, is twice a year. Some churches may do it once a month. Here's the thing. If any church would criticize another church, they're criticizing something they should never criticize. Because the Lord never said observe it every week. He never said observe it every month. He never said do it twice a year. He simply said do it. That's what he said. It's left up to the local church, the individual local church, as to how often they partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, as we think of the Lord's Supper here tonight, there are three thoughts I want to give you. Right here in this text and also the parallel text in Luke chapter 22. There are three things I want to give us as we come to the Lord's Supper tonight. Number one, let's notice its picture. This is found in verses 26 through 28. I've already read this here, so I'm not going to read it again. But as they were eating, the Lord Jesus took bread. And the Bible says he broke it. And he told his disciples to eat this bread because it was his body. He then took the cup that had the juice in it, and he told his disciples to drink it because it was his blood. Now, while some try to teach that these elements literally became the body and blood of Christ, some people try to say that that was the literal body and the literal blood. We know this is not true because Jesus' body was standing in the room with them, friends. He was in the room with them. They were not taking a bite out of the flesh of Jesus Christ. They were not literally drinking the blood that was flowing through his veins. But we understand that the bread and drink that night were a beautiful picture. They were a type of the Lord that he gave concerning himself. The unleavened bread that he broke in their presence is a picture of the broken body of the Lord that he would suffer on Calvary and all the tremendous torture that he partook of. You know, the interesting thing about this and something that we need to think of, we know that not a bone of his body was broken. Not one bone. Because he has to be an accurate, perfect type of the Passover lamb. There's not a bone that's going to be broken. But instead of no bones broken, Jesus identifies himself, even though no bones were broken, his body was broken. His entire body was broken. He's giving a picture here. The juice pictures the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His body was broken for us, and his blood was shed for the remission of our sin. We know how the Lord Jesus suffered. We're reminded of how he bled and he died on the cross for our sin and for the sin of the whole world. We know that he was laughed at in his body. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. They took his blessed body and they pulled the hair from his face, spitting into his face, blindfolding him and hitting him in the face. They beat his body with the cat of nine tails, to the point that the book of Psalm prophesied many years before this took place that his inwards would stare upon him. His inwards. That means the unseen things when you look at somebody's, but the inwards, what you don't see inside your body, it says that they were staring upon the Lord. Now that can only mean that his body was so emaciated, was so tortured, that you could literally see some of his internal being. I don't know what all that means, but I know this. He did it for you and me. They placed a crown of thorns on that body that was broken. They drove spikes through his hands and through his feet. Glory, I'm starting to get blessed. Not a bone broken, but his entire body broken for you and for me. As they beat him and nailed him to the cross, his precious, royal, holy, sinless blood flowed out of his body. And through his shed blood, there is remission of sin made possible for you and me. Hebrews 9:22, 1 Peter 1:19 teaches this. The Word of God tells us here and elsewhere that the Lord Jesus gave thanks. Can you imagine that? I mean, the Bible says that he gave thanks. He gave thanks. As he was holding the bread up and holding the juice up, knowing what that meant for him, the Bible teaches us, when you compare it all together, that when he had given thanks, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he took the juice. And he presented the bread and drink that night. Even though it was going to be terrible on him, awful on him, awful on him. Nobody's ever gone through what he went through. Not that people haven't been tortured. I mean, obviously people have been tortured. People have even been crucified. People being crucified today, different parts of the world, for their faith. But nobody's gone through what Jesus did. Nobody. the Lord suffered the second death so you and I wouldn't have to. He had the Father. See, all of his beard being plucked out and thorns on his brow and spikes through his hands and feet and his body being emaciated to where you could see the internal being of him. That wasn't the worst thing on him. The worst thing on him, because he kept his mouth shut, remember? Like a lamb before a shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't open his mouth until something happened. And he didn't open it saying, I can't stand this pain. He didn't open it to say that. But when God the Father blacked out from 12 to 3, turned the sun off. By the way, that should have woke the crowd up. I mean, don't you think? Something's different about this here, friends. He blacked the sun out. And at that time, the sin of the world was laid on our Savior. And God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And while the Lord kept his mouth shut while they beat him, while they kept his mouth shut while they drove spikes in him, while he kept his mouth shut while he did it, when the Father turned his back, he couldn't hold it in. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, friends, we are remembering the cross of Jesus Christ. We are remembering his broken body. We're remembering his shed blood. What a picture. That's its picture. Number two, its purpose. You don't need to turn to it, just let me turn to it. But what's the purpose of the Lord's Supper? I've already told it to you, but I'm just giving it its own point here. Luke 22:19, here's what he said. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it. And gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. You know what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is? It's not to save your soul. Salvation is not in these containers up here, friends. You don't eat a piece of bread and go to heaven. You don't drink this juice and go, no, it's not that. The purpose of this is not to save your soul. Only God can do that. Only Jesus can do that. But rather, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remember the Lord, to remember him. To remember him and his great sacrifice. One preacher put it this way, the bread and wine will remind us of how sinful sin must be when nothing but Christ's death could atone for it. The bread and wine will remind us that though our sins are great, a great price has been paid for our redemption. Not least, it will produce in us gratitude. The bread and wine will remind us how great is our debt to Christ and how deeply bound we are to glorify him in our lives. And may these be the feelings that we experience whenever we receive the Lord's Supper. When you hold that little piece of bread in your hand tonight, and you've examined yourself. Yes, I am in the family of God. Yes, my heart is right with God. And I understand what we're doing. You're not coming to it flippantly. But you're serious. You understand you're not eating the literal body of Jesus. Come on, friends. You're not drinking the little blood of Jesus. But when you eat that piece of bread, you are to remember that just like that bread is being broken in your mouth, Jesus Christ was broken on Calvary. And when you partake of that juice and you drink it down and it goes inside of you, you are to remember when you drink it. It should not go through your mind, boy, that tastes good. Boy, I like that grape juice. Boy, I was thirsty. I'm glad they gave me a little something to drink tonight. That's what they were doing in the church in Corinth, by the way. But you come and you realize when you swallow that even though that may have a flavorful taste to you, it was bitter to Jesus. And it pictures the shed blood that we have no remission of sin without. Then we notice the third thing about this, the Lord's Supper. Its picture, it's the broken body and shed blood of Christ. Its purpose, we're to remember him and what he did for us. And number three, its promise. We see this in our text in Matthew chapter 26. Notice verse number 29. He said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. Notice this. until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Friends, that right there is exciting. As a matter of fact, most of you cannot see this, but up here there are three seats, one for the pastor, one for the deacon chairman, and there's a seat back here that you can't see. I'm looking at it. We do that on purpose because this seat is vacant tonight. That seat's for somebody else. Because as we come together and we're remembering him, there's going to come a time in the future when we don't have to remember it. We're going to see it. And he said, my promise to you is this. I'm not going to drink this fruit of the vine like this again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. He told him, I'm not going to drink it until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This was the Lord giving a wonderful and precious promise to them. Now get this, this is the night he's going to be betrayed. This is the night that he's going to, he's getting ready to go to Calvary. They're going to watch him die. He's going to be buried, but he's promising them here, listen, I'm not going to stay dead. You're going to watch me die, but that's not the end. And I want you to know something. When you think of me with this broken bread and this wine, this juice, this fruit of the vine here, I want you to remember something. I'm coming back for you. And I'm going to drink of this with you in my Father's kingdom. See, no doubt he was speaking about his upcoming death. That was no doubt going to be a dark time for these disciples. Remember, they go into hiding and everything else? But as one preacher put it, he said, thus he led his disciples through the dark valley that lay ahead into the sunshine that lies beyond. See, as God's children partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to realize that there's a great and precious promise connected to it. And that promise is the Lord's coming back again. We may be living in dark days, but keep your eyes on the sky, for King Jesus is coming again. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. John 14:3, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Acts 1:11, when they were standing there and Jesus began to float and he went up and the clouds received him. It says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. As we come to a conclusion of this, just, I call it a mini sermon, so to speak, just quickly bringing us back together about what this time is, observing the Lord's Supper as we think about the picture of it. It pictures the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. As we think about the purpose of it, it's to remember what he did many years ago on the cross of Calvary. We think about the promise connected to it that he's saying, yes, you may be observing without seeing me tonight, but there's coming a day when I'm going to be right in your presence and you're going to see me and I'm going to partake of it with you again in my Father's kingdom. What a promise. What a promise. When you think about all this together, can I put it this way? What an exalted privilege it is to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is to be observed in remembrance of his gracious sacrifice for our sin. I like what one preacher said. He said the Lord's Supper is a commemoration service where we remember the Lord. He said it's an examination service. In 1 Corinthians, you don't need to turn to this, just let me turn to it. It says here in 1 Corinthians 11:27-30, it says this, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, talking about the Lord's Supper, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man so examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. May I say this to you? There have been some people who go to a premature grave because they did not drink this and eat it worthily. Now, have you ever heard this? Somebody says, I'm not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm not worthy. That's not what that passage is talking about. Because if only those who are worthy can partake it, then we better not take it. Amen or not, friends? Nobody's worthy to partake of this. Then what's it mean to partake it unworthily? Unworthily. It means the manner in which you approach it. That means this: you need to know you're saved. You need to know you're born again. Your heart needs to be right with God, and you need to understand that what you're getting ready to do is not for you, it's for Him. It's not to satisfy a hunger or a thirst, it's to remember the Lord's sacrifice. See, the church in Corinth were approaching the Lord's table like the supper table. They were coming and just eating the bread and drinking the juice just because they were hungry, they were thirsty, and they wanted to eat supper, so they took the Lord's supper and did that. And God said this: that's partaking of it unworthily. God did not give us the Lord's supper to fulfill our fleshly appetite. He gave us the Lord's supper to remind us that without Him, there's no heaven. So as we come to this, let's make sure. I like what this preacher said. It's a commemoration service. It's to help us remember Him. It's an examination service. Make sure we approach it very seriously, understanding this is to remember the Lord. And it is an anticipation service. That's a good outline right there. I'm saying it because it's not mine. It's a commemoration service. It's an examination service. It's an anticipation service. We're anticipating what? The time when we will eat it and drink it with Him. Praise the Lord for His sacrifice for sin. Now, I felt led to do this. We're going to have a brief invitation. If I could just have somebody just come just to begin to play. We're not going to sing anything. Just play. And as I'm calling the church into session tonight, as we're approaching the Lord's Supper, I want to give you an opportunity to examine yourself. What a service for somebody who may be lost to come and say, I need Jesus. What a service to make that decision. So if you need to be saved, you come. Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Or if you know you're saved, you know you're born again, maybe you want to spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you want to come, get on your knees. Maybe you want to make an altar out of your pew right there. But let's pray and ask God to help our hearts to be completely focused on Him. A lot of things calling for our attention, right? A lot of things calling for your attention, sure. Tonight, let's be saturated with the sacrifice of the Son of God. So as they begin to play through softly, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. And if you want to leave your place and come for just a moment, to get prepared for the Lord's Supper. You come now, would you do it? Come now. Now's your time to come. Right, I'm